Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Our first reading this morning comes from Micah, the 5th chapter, verses 2 through 5. Hear now these words from the prophet Micah. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are the ones of the little clans of Judah? From you shall come forth from me one who is the ruler of Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall live secure. From now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. This is the word of the Lord. Our second scripture this morning comes from Luke, that first chapter, verses 46 through 55. We often call it Mary's song. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowly state of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Indeed, his mercy is from those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arms. He has scattered the proud in the image of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has come to the aid of his child Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promises he made to our ancestors, to Abram and to his descendants forever." This is the word of the Lord. So we've had the prophets kind of hold our hands as we walk through this Advent season. You know, we know the prophets are the ones that got it. Even though they really didn't know the future, they're certainly not fortune tellers, but they're the ones who believed in God's story. And this is God's story. So we walked with these prophets who have helped us to make room, to create a space, and to be ready for God's what next. They've helped us understand that our hearts are full, and that is enough. Micah says God's work comes through the vulnerable ones, in the midst of that vulnerability and disregarded places. God has already been bringing us a ruler. Even if our eyes are on the capital city or on the big headlines or the flashy things of the world. God is preparing salvation in a place we would disregard. And it is among God's vulnerable people that God's greatest work is just about to unfold. It starts in a place like Bethlehem with the birth of a child. And it's in this vulnerable moment of labor that the defenseless, those with inability to do anything else except what your body is telling you to do right now, and it is again in this place of vulnerability. It's a place where people don't have choices. That is where we find God alive and active. For those of us who think we're in control of our lives and much of our time, this can be a hard passage because it's so much simpler than we make out our lives to be. And the passage reminds us that God's activity among people are among those that have fewer choices than we do. Then we turn to our Luke passage, where Mary becomes a prophet. Sometimes that turn is hard. You see, we need to keep reminding ourselves that this is a new story that is coming before us, where the ones where we think that are not prophets are prophets. So Mary was a young girl, okay? But we dismiss her. We dismiss her as a prophet because she's a young girl. And she's really young, and so we oftentimes say, well, there is no way a 14-year-old could be a prophet, and we dismiss her. And she's not married, okay? She's not married, but that really dismisses her as a prophet. And then we get to the kicker, right? She's pregnant, unmarried, and young. So we dismiss her completely. But I want to say that construct is an old construct, where young, unmarried women who are expecting a child are dismissed as out of order, not the way it's done, or even shamed because of their story. Let's be honest. How many of us have rolled our eyes when things have been done out of order? Or have worried because a child or a grandchild has done them out of order? And yet, God comes to a young, unmarried woman who says yes to carrying God's child, our Savior. A young, unmarried woman who is pregnant becomes a prophet and sings a lullaby of prophecy for us to build a new construct upon. So here's the news flash. The way we've always done things is really out the window. And holding on to that, the way we've always done things, will not bring the future God has planned for us and the congregation. We need to let go. We need to let go of how things have done in the past. We need to unstack chairs. And we need to proclaim that what we have here is enough. And we don't need to add anything more, and maybe we need to let go of some things. Do you remember what happens right before Mary's song? The narrative in Luke says that Mary set out and went with haste to a town in Judea, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted her cousin Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child in Elizabeth's womb leapt. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she proclaims, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the first fruit in your womb." So I wonder if these two women are the prototype of the church. They certainly embody how improbable and pervasive the church can be. They make quite a pair. A postmenopausal woman and a middle-aged schoolgirl, both impossibly pregnant. Noticeably absent are the men. To be honest, they both have men in their lives. But we don't get a story recorded in the Bible about their conversation. These two women confide only in each other, filled with the power of the world that granted them so little. So with their rather unnecessary men nowhere in sight, two women, favored, empowered, exalted, lift their voices in praise to God's newness alive in them. So it will be always that the Spirit chooses among who will be the voice and the agent of the divine purpose. And the chosen are often those with little social status or economic power. In the church and beyond, anyone can see the forefront of the Spirit work, and it will be the job of the rest of us to discern, to listen, and gratefully to follow their lead. Perhaps we can rejoice with Mary and the others like her. She is lowly, and God has favored her and done great things. Praise be that it is true. God really does favor the lowly and has done great things with them. The economically deprived, the socially excluded, the vulnerable, the threatened, the abused, the oppressed, the broken. Perhaps we are among them, and we've found ourselves by the favor of God to be wonderfully included, enlightened, empowered, and lifted by the love of the faithful community. This is exactly the testimony of many, and we can be glad. Yet Mary has more than that on her mind. You see, in her song, the lifting of the lowly comes in tandem with the falling of the powerful. The language of her declaration makes it clear that Mary's song celebrates social, economic, and political reversals. Mary's kingdom of God is the opposite of what so many of us know and experience. And I think to see this kingdom of God, Mary's kingdom of God, we have to be on our tippy toes. And we can't be weighted down by the junk of the old story that the prophets have been trying to help us get rid of through Advent 1, 2, and 3. And here it is now, Mary's glimpse. because this is God's story. God lifts up the lowly and puts down the powerful. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble girded on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry are fat with spoils. The barren have borne 7, but she who has many children is forlorn. He has raised up the poor from the dust. He's lifted up the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. So let's be honest. For most of us, Mary's world is not our world. We live a life of privilege. Wear it with righteousness and often appear quite noble. And we look with disdain on young, unmarried, pregnant women who think they would have a word for us. Yet God is calling us to cast away the old constructs, the things that are holding us back from entering the story. Honestly, and with a little bit of reverence, I'm going to invite us to stand on our tippy toes and peer into the new way of doing things, where God calls and anoints the unlikely, where God blesses young, unmarried, pregnant women and calls them a prophet. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.